My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
I don't know what you're thinking. Oh, man, not another remote podcast. Well, that's exactly what this is, so suck it up, buttercup. We're going to get into it. What I'm doing is I'm waiting for Jeff and Averill to come pick me up. Jeff is a longtime contributor to the podcast. He was on the last one that we did with when we were down on Beale Street. Well, this is not going to be any different. You see, the three of us are headed downtown here in a little while as soon as they come pick me up. They're picking me up because of logistics. Calm down. And we are headed to the Cook Convention Center. At least my understanding is that. And what's going on down there this evening is the Blues Music Awards. The BMAs are this evening. And we're going to be talking with some folks. And I thought, why not? I'll bring the recorder along. We'll talk to some folks. All sorts of weird things happen at these types of award parties and things like that. So we're going to get down into it and have us a fine time. I just got off the air a little while ago and got a flask loaded full of good prime whiskey. Got a beer in my hand. And I'm ready to get rolling and get down there and see what all the fuss is going to be about. It should be a big old time. So, yeah, so hang out. And this will be good. So there will be edits in this, much like the last one, just because we got to string it together in parts. But nevertheless, have some fun as you join Jeff Janowitz, Averill Conway, and myself, Rick Cheddar, as we head down to the BMAs for 2014. It was so loud inside that we really couldn't carry on a decent conversation with much of anybody. So Jeff and I went downstairs to have us a smoke and, well, take a little bit out of the flask, if you know what I'm saying. And lo and behold, standing there, minding his own business, not having anything else to do, was our old pal, Super Chicken. So we talked to him.
That thing come out, man. I mean, I wear it out. When I do it on stage, I take it to the extreme.
Oh, man, I bet.
And people tell I said I'm the most extreme blues musician they ever heard. I said, why do you say that? He said, hell, you can go from yodeling to John Lee Hooker. They said, that's extreme.
That's extreme, that is.
Then that one guy, he said, well, how did you learn to yodel anyway? I told him I got hung on a barbed wire fence.
That'd make a grown man yodel, won't
yes,
it?
Yes, sir. And I did. I was trying to cross that fence one day in a hurry to keep it with the original guy, and goddamn, that sucker caught me right up in there. And I couldn't get off it. It was a hole in me. And I tried to scoop backwards. It stuck me again. I tried to scoop forwards. And I learned that. I broke my voice was broke that day. I got out and I kind of laughed at myself once I got off the fence. I said, hell, how did I do that? And I did it again. So then I said, well, hell, that's how they yodel. And I started yodeling. And OJ Silman, the president up in here,
yeah.
Anytime he come to where I'm playing, he said, I didn't come to see you. He said, I come for the yodeling.
Came for the yodeling.
So are you thinking you're going to be like cast as a yodeler now? Or just you're an old school blues guy, though.
That's all. Just a down home country boy. Started out with nothing, man, and still got 90% of it left.
That's the blues right there, right? You writing a lot? You doing a lot of writing?
Yeah. I write off my own music. I don't listen to nobody else's music. I listen to mine. You know, if you listen to somebody else's song, and if it's a good tune, it'll be in your head for 2 or 3 days. You'll catch yourself humming it 2 or 3 days later, that same tune. So if you're writing and trying to write your own stuff, you don't want to do that. I'll put my music, say that bench over there. I'll put my music over there, and I'll go away, and I'll play it, and I'll come just close enough to not recognize what song is playing, but to hear something different from it. I can stand here and I can hear something different. If I don't want to know which song it is that's playing, but I'll just let something play and I'll stand here and I'll listen and I'll hear something different than what it really is because I'm not hearing it clear.
Yeah.
Then I'll keep that in my head and then I'll go away and keep that in my head and until I make something out of it, you know. I've done that on several of my songs. I hear a complete different groove or a different beat.
Just as listen to something you've already done.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I hear something different from it.
Well, I know what you're saying. When you get stuck, and sometimes you play something, you think, God, that sounds familiar.
Well, yeah, but you listen to a song that was off of this, and you couldn't quite make out what it was.
Yeah.
Then when you get a little closer, oh, that's what that's. But it didn't sound like that when
but
I was with
this. Is like the beat's different.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do with my music. I'll play it, and I'll stand way distant off from it. And I'll hear something different.
There's different emphasis on the
beats. And then I don't want to ruin what I'm hearing because if it sounds good, I won't ruin it. I won't go to the music just then. I'll go away with that same groove in my head.
And just play it in your head? And
play it in my head until I get to my guitar, you know. And then
there's some Louisiana in you, though. I'm hearing that, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're so close down there, you know.
Yeah. And, they always say you take Louisiana and Mississippi and you cut them in half, you know, east to west.
Yeah.
And you make the north half Mississippi and the north half Louisiana and you got something maybe.
Well, where the Louisiana part comes in, that is like my grandparents raised me and they were pretty much still African. They hadn't learned how to speak language proper yet. And we, whatever they said back then, we thought that was it. Until I learned how to half read and write. Oh, well, we've been saying this wrong for years, you know.
That's where you heard it. That's where you learned it.
Yeah, yeah. Like turpentine. They would say turpentine, you know.
Right, yeah.
Except if like if a baby had the thrush, they call it thrash.
Thrash.
Well, yeah. And so my daughter just had a baby in West Arkansas, so baby got the thrash. He ain't thrash. That is thrush. I said, what the hell you mean thrush? It's thrash. Who's arguing? And so this is, you know, I went to Africa. And I learned a whole bunch of stuff. Like we, everybody now, you probably don't even know where the name Boogeyman come from.
No, I don't.
Well, I went to Africa.
I always thought it was Casey and the Sunshine Band.
You're going to hell for that.
It might be. But anyway, we went to Saint Louis.
Right.
It spells like Saint Louis, but they pronounce it Saint Louis.
Because they speak French there, right? Primarily.
This is in Dakar, West Africa.
Right.
And we did the Buki Blues Festival.
Oh, wow.
So what's the Buki Blues Festival? They said Buki was a great leader. He was like a king over there and had people that worked for him, that served for him. He was the king of the over this town, like a mayor or something. And if somebody did something wrong, he would send his men out to get them and bring them in and would behead them or whatever needs to be done to them. And so when the Africans came over to America from Africa and the boss man would ask me to do something he thought was wrong, he said, no, Buki men get me.
Boogeyman get me.
But the southern accent, grabbed it and he said, Boogeyman.
Boogeyman.
Every time I asked that boy to do something, he said, the Boogeyman's gonna get him. But he was saying, Boogeyman. And they went from that to Boogeyman.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so that's where Boogeyman comes from.
Is that where Boogie comes from, too? I mean, is it.
Yeah, Boogie Blues, is that from the same thing?
Yeah.
Wow.
The Boogie Blues, the Boogie. Well, you know, they just. They created a monster out of Boogie.
Right, right.
They created a monster.
You did something wrong.
So we're going to boogie woogie, you know.
Yeah.
The Boogeyman blues. The Boogeyman music, you know. So we're going to boogie. Because they call the blues the devil music, right?
Right.
So the devil, they call
it. Oh, okay. I see.
Right.
Yeah.
They call the blues the devil music. So they said the devil is the boogeyman.
And when you tie in all
the boogie.
When you tie in the voodoo that goes in with all of that from New Orleans. And,
yeah.
Well,
you know.
See, I'm a child of the 70s, so I originally thought boogie came from Booger when I was a kid.
Yeah.
No.
But my sister's older than me, and she was way into disco, so boogie. I was.
Like you said, man.
What's going on, man?
Y'all, this is Super Chicken number 2.
Super Chicken number 2. How you doing?
All right.
I filled in for him one time on the Memphis Festival.
Yeah.
Lurie didn't show up. His plane was late or something other, and I had to fill in for him. And they had my picture in the paper. And they said, Lurie Bell turned it out last night. But had my picture and his name.
You can make the check payable to Super Chicken, is that right?
Right out of the check.
Right out of the check.
I should just say, I'm Lurie Bell number 2. That's what I am.
Oh, get out of here, Super Chicken. Get out of here.
Oh, and another thing I learned. We walk down the street and we say, hello, we're speaking. When we say, howdy, we're not speaking. That's an invitation.
Hadi is an invitation.
Yeah, it comes from the word Hadi. Hadi.
Oh.
Hadi means enter my home, enter my kingdom.
Really?
Yeah, come in, enter. Okay, so when they brought the slaves over, boss come by the house, knock on the door, he opened the door and says, Hadi, come in.
Oh.
So in a southern accent, got every time I knock on that boy, every time I knock on that boy's door, he says, Hadi. Then it went from that to howdy. Then when they got out west, they had a partner to it. Howdy, partner.
That is so cool.
That is awesome.
Howdy is an invitation. Hello is speaking. You know, and howdy, that comes from the word, you know, it got the, that's the southern accent of Heidi. Howdy is the southern accent of Heidi.
See, I had a friend that was down here from New York once. He'd never been to the South. He said, you know, the thing is that's different about you guys down here is when I walk past somebody in the hall and I say, how you doing? They respond. They don't do that up north. You're not supposed to answer
that. Oh,
hell no. How you doing? Oh, I'm good.
I was up in Manhattan, New York one day, walking the street. Met the dude down there. How you doing? The hell you mean, how you doing? What you up to? Good morning. What's so damn good about it? What you up to?
Yeah, you don't look at nobody in New York.
No.
You don't make eye contact with anybody in New York.
That's bad.
Yeah.
He said in New York, how you doing is just a way of acknowledging somebody when you walk past them.
Oh, yeah. What
here
you
in the
up
South,
to?
We'll be like, oh, I'm doing all right. How about
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Something like, what the hell you mean? How you doing? What you up to? What you want? You know, who are you? And all, I mean,
but, you know, traveling around the world, the blues is the international language.
It
though,
is.
I would think.
It's the true gospel.
There you go. Amen.
The blues is the true gospel. Them old field songs. You know how the juke joint got started, juke house got started?
How's that?
Well, on the plantation, the boss man house was always the big house. It sit right out in the middle or either right out in front of all of the little shacks that the workers stayed in, right? So they work them all week long out in the field, and on the rainy days when it's too muddy to work, or on a Sunday when it didn't work, everybody would get out in the yard and sing. And we sang them old field songs. Lord, boss man about to kill me, working me so hard. And he was making him feel guilty. He didn't like it. He told me, if y'all go out in the woods, sing that damn devil music. I don't want to hear that damn devil music, because he was confining him, defining him, or what have you want to say. But they want to sing. I mean, that's what we did with song. You know, we started singing the blues away. But every day he would come and tell him to shut the hell up or go out in the woods. So we started going out in the woods. And finally, once somebody run up on an old abandoned shack out there, old cotton house out in the woods, and everybody gathered up in that damn little cotton house and started drinking their moonshine and singing their song. And then that's where everybody just started meeting out there every weekend.
Yeah,
they would meet out there. And put them, then they started adding on to that place. And then that's how the juke house came about.
That makes sense, yeah.
Every Saturday night, everybody would go out in the woods to the juke house. That's why the juke house was always out in the country. In town, we would party in town till 12 o'clock at night. 12 o'clock at night, they'd go out in the country. To the juke house, part of the rest of the night.
Until the sun comes up.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That keeps a man off your back.
That's right. Keep a man off your back.
As long as you shut up for work the next day, you know.
And a lot of people use the word cracker as an offensive word. It's not. Cracker was big. Was an honorable word.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've heard this. Yeah.
The cracker comes from the whip cracker. The guy.
That's what I thought, though.
The guy rode the horse and carried the whip. He would crack the whip on you if he caught you not doing nothing. He said, here come the cracker. That didn't mean he was a cracker. It mean he would crack the whip on you.
Yeah.
But it was always a white man, because, you know, black man wasn't fit to be bosses back then. So it was always a white man. So they thought they just called poor white people crackers. But it wasn't that. It was a whip cracker.
Yeah, it came from the whip cracking thing.
Yeah.
And it goes back to, like, where honky came from, the guys, that the white guys that would show up to pick up the black girls, and they'd honk the horn so they wouldn't show up on the doorstep.
Yeah.
Really? Is that where that comes
that's
from?
What
yeah,
honky
that's,
what
it comes, that's what a honky is. Yeah.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I've always wondered, seriously.
Yeah.
And coming from that story, there's not a white guy that would be offensive or offended by that, if you think about it. You know?
And, I don't know. A real man would go to the door and knock on the door and escort the lady to his car.
Well, you ever been to Africa?
No, sir.
And then you never seen a full-blooded Negro. We are not full-blooded Negroes.
I've known a few Africans. I've never been to Africa.
African stands anywhere from 6 to 7 foot tall,
right?
200 to 300 pounds. His neck lines up with the back of his head, and he got lips about an inch thick, and they roll back. That's a full-blooded Negro, and he's solid black.
So black they're blue.
They're so black he's blue.
That's right.
Full-blooded Negro.
Yeah.
They call us shit color. Yeah.
So when you play Africa, do they refer to you that?
What?
A shit color?
No. They call me a fucked up brother.
A fucked up brother.
Fucked up brother. Growing up as a kid, I started out at 9 years old working with the Mennonites. Helping them, y'all know the Mennonites.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I worked with the Mennonites for about 30, 35 years. From a kid all the way up. And they told me to never use that N-word. And back then, we wasn't using it, you know, like they do now.
Right.
Well, what's wrong with the N-word? What is the N-word? He said, it's an ugly little animal. It's so damn ugly, it ain't even fit to eat. So don't never call nobody that N-word. Okay. So I believe that. When we worked alongside the woods, and I would always watch the woods for the ugliest damn animal to run out. I said, the ugliest thing to run out, there got to be a nigger, you know. In 1964, we went to a restaurant where they had a little window on the side for the black people to get waited on. And they had a sitting place on the inside where the white come and sit. The blacks wasn't allowed to go in. But I was with the Mennonites. I went in and everywhere they went. And I didn't know I wasn't allowed in there. So I goes into the restaurant with them. I noticed all the other black people standing out looking, but the eye buck peeking at me and stuff. I runs right up in, right up to the counter, standing there. This big white guy walks up there. He said, what you doing in here, boy? I said, I'm hungry. I come to get something to eat. He said, well, you know, we don't serve niggas in here, don't you? I said, oh, I'm glad you don't. I don't eat them son of bitches anyway.
that's so funny.
That's good. That's a joke we can never repeat.
No,
it's a story we can never repeat.
It's been repeated. They made worldwide news. They did a video of it
that's
once.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they did a video of me telling that story, you know, and it went viral, man.
So where were you? Were you growing up in Clarkstown?
It was in Quitman County, Mississippi. Quitman County, one of the worst counties in Mississippi.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, there were dirt farmers down there, and
I got a traffic ticket over there. I think this was about 66. I was driving, and the guy stopped me. It was pouring rain. He would not get out of his car. He made me stand in the pouring rain, and he rolled his window down just a little bit. He said, you ran a stop sign back there. I said, no, sir, I didn't even come by the stop sign. I said, I came across the street right here. He said, I say you ran a damn stop sign. He said, I'll roll your damn head up in this window and snatch your damn beard out. I said, okay. And he just let me stand there in the rain. He rolled his window back up, and I started walking off. He rolled the window. He said, come back here. You stand there and wait till I get through with you. It was just pouring down rain. I stood there. He wrote
an asshole.
Yeah, he wrote the ticket out. And on that part where it said race, he wrote N-I-G-E-R. And big black letters. And I took it back to the boss the next morning. I told the Mennonites, I said, I got a ticket last night. He looked at the ticket. They said, don't pay that one. He said, you don't even have to worry about that one. He said, that won't even make it to court. I kept that damn thing about 20 years before it just crumbled up and tore to pieces.
And just a reminder of how people can be? Or
that's Quitman County.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad I was around.
Yeah, times have changed. You know, I know sometimes it didn't seem that much that way, but you know, I would like to think that most of it has.
I saw a lot of stuff. I went through a lot of stuff, but it's home, and it's still home. People said, how do you live here? I said, hell, I can live here, but I can't anywhere because I know my way around now. Know where to step and where not to step. Know what they want.
Back in the late 80s, early 90s, I was living down in Tupelo, and we would often, you know, go into Clarksdale and down through Quitman County, and it was shocking to me that sharecropping was still a thing.
Yeah.
And it was like, wait a minute, this ain't right. But you have to understand, as I was told, you have to understand the way the politics of the day were. Whether it was right or wrong made no difference. That was just how it was.
Well, I tell you what, it ain't much different now. The only reason it's different now is by law.
Right.
By law. But there's some down there that still feel the same way and think the same way. No kidding. I was up in Ground Zero there a couple of years ago. There's a little kid standing there, and I was pretty popular at the time, had new records out. I was in the news and stuff, and everybody wanted to take pictures. And this one lady, oh, I want to get me a picture with Super Chicken. I want to get me a picture with Super Chicken. Newspaper was there and everything, and she wanted to be seen with Super Chicken. And this little girl was confused. She ran and she snatched on her mama's coattail like that, mommy, mommy. She turned around and looked, she says, what, babe? She said, is Super Chicken a nigger too? She grabbed the little girl, oh my God, took her ran away.
Oh, God.
Man, this is heartbreaking.
Well, it's not hurting me. It's hurting the kids.
That's what I mean.
It's hurting the kids.
That ain't right.
Okay, these kids got to go to school with these black kids every day. Yeah. They got to live a two-faced life now. They got to come home and sit down and agree with their parents and pretend they don't like us. Then they got to come to school and like us, you know?
Yeah.
And there's some that's having a fight with their parents about it, and some that love that money. They said, if I catch you with one of them or do anything with one of them, so we're cutting you off. You don't get a damn dime.
Right.
So he have to hate us to get that money.
Damn.
It's like institutionalized. That ain't right.
No wonder you play the blues.
Yes, sir.
And like you said, your music comes from your experiences. From I mean, that's the best way to write, isn't it?
Yeah.
From everything you live.
I don't write about nothing I don't know nothing about. I write about what I know about. My granddad's name was Ellis Jones. He was first cousin to Robert Jones. They played together in the 20s, and that's all my grandpa used to talk about when I was a kid. Was,
no kidding, I didn't know that.
Yeah, all he talked about, Robert Lee. Yeah. Who the hell is Robert Lee?
Yeah, I know the story, yeah.
They made each other a promise. That one went before the other one, then the other one carried on. But the way Robert died was so spooky and scary, it scared the shit out of my grandpa. And he liked whiskey too, so he didn't want to get poisoned.
Right.
But he didn't want to get voodooed. He thought he was voodooed. He thought he had a spell put on him and all kind of stuff. So he failed to keep his promise with Robert. He stopped playing the guitar and started playing the fiddle. And he talked about him to me all the time, and I couldn't figure out why. But at the age of 6, I learned why. Well, before he died, he told me, he said, Robert could see you now, he'd be proud of me. I said, what are you talking about, I'd be proud of you? He said, because I made Robert a promise that you're going to carry on for me. So you just the one. So you're going to carry that promise. So one day he told me about it, and what, 3 or 4 months later, he got his head blowed off. And I walked out standing right here on the ground. He landed on the ground right by my feet. I'm standing there looking at him with his head severed from his body. His head rolled over, his eyes locked into my eyes. And he starts to guggling from his throat. And I had this strange feeling go all over my body. And being at the age of 6, I didn't know what it was, but it was a spell. And my life has been up and down, just like Robert. Hellhounds on my trail everywhere I go.
With the hex,
I have good, yeah, the hex. I had the hex at the age of 6. He put the hex on me while he was dying because he did not keep his promise. And so my life is up and down all the time, up and down all the time. I'll do good for a minute, then I'll fall. And my plus, I'm not a motivated kind of guy. You know, I never stand still. I never stop thinking. I never stop studying. I never stop coming up with ideas. And people envy me. So I rap this song called Grip, Lip, Slip. Every time I catch a grip, here come the lip, and then I slip.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
The Grip, Lip, Slip blues.
So would you say it's worth it? With the ups and the downs?
Well, I got more than just a spell. I got a gift as well.
Right.
I'm creative. I make my own teeth. I make my shoes. I make my guitars. I used to make my own cars.
Oh, yeah.
Made from a PVC pipe. But in other words, I never lay down.
Right.
I've been blackballed. I've been X'd out. I've been the worst could happen to me, but I fail to lay down. And they don't like me for that. Anywhere they see me pull up or pick up, here come the lip. Come the lip. That's my man. Hey, how we doing, baby?
Hey, man, my cousin Ariel, man, Jones out of Chicago. He's a Vietnam vet. Got shot up a couple times, but he's all right, man. He comes to the Blues Fest every couple times he comes to Chicago, and he loves you, man. And I know we don't do the fan type thing, but can I just get you just saying a couple words to Ariel Jones on my little video camera?
No problem.
Okay.
No problem. We was in Chicago about
a couple years ago. Y'all did
no,
the fest.
A couple of months ago at Buddy Guy's.
Okay, I didn't see. I didn't even know because I'd have come see you. I'm on the Blues Fest committee.
March 15th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm on the all right. Robert Jones. R. L. Jones. A real.
Say when.
When.
This is to my buddy, Mr. R. L. Jones. More power to you, baby. Nothing but the chicken kicking like the biscuit. Stand right here with it.
Nice.
There were a couple of times in the night that it just made better sense to go stand out in the lobby because, really, frankly, that's where all the cool kids were hanging out. And here's proof of it. Ran into John D'Amato, and he related this great story about how his record was made. And let me tell you something. You remember Shawshank Redemption where the Morgan Freeman character talks about the other character talking about swimming through a river of shit to get to freedom? Well, that's what happened here, sort of.
Because I don't want you to get in any trouble, but go ahead.
You in trouble.
Is my parole officer listening though?
You're still on papers, right?
That's right, man. I got the
I got the Kickstarter done, raised the bread, real happy, getting ready to go to work. I'm working with this guy out of Nashville. He's producing it for me. We're working together. He goes on the road for 2 months. Okay, so I got to wait. Which is okay. He gets back. I'm ready to go. I have a sewage leak blow up in my house.
Oh, no.
It smells like sewage for
oh,
2 weeks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we're
all... Oh, my God. There's a blues song
yeah,
right there.
Oh, yeah.
House
then,
full of...
Yeah, right. I'm stepping in shit, and I don't like it, right?
And it's not even yours.
Right.
Yeah.
It's probably the whole neighborhood's, but anyway.
Oh.
Worst thing ever in my life. Then I get all that done. We're mixing the record. And then all of a sudden, the studio, he gets kicked out of the studio.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, oh, shit. So I'm scrambling. I finally get somebody else to finish mixing. I mean, we went crazy, but we got it done.
Like, it was one effort after another. I mean, when I saw your Kickstarter first go up, and it was kind of a slow grow,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden it just kind of picked up,
yep.
and I was like, oh, good, you know, because I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, I'd hate for him to just, you know, be just short, and you were just short for a while.
I had a couple of cool people that I never thought would come through in a big way, and they did, and it was awesome. You know,
yeah,
that was a great feeling.
So yeah, so from here you're on the road.
Yep.
Getting this thing out there and starting selling some records.
Kicking it out. Got to sell it now, man.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's where it's.
But I got to thank you guys for all you did, man. You're great.
Listen, I wouldn't have been there, you know, any other way. You know, and we're mighty proud of you.
Well,
we really are.
I appreciate all you do,
John. You're a great guy.
You too, bro.
Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Thank you.
And while we were upstairs, we realized that there was a balcony that you could go to, which was made things kind of handy because it kept us from having to go downstairs the whole time to empty the flask, if you will. And while we were out there, it was kind of cool because it overlooks Front Street and you can see into the river and all. It was a big time. And we're out there, and so we ran into J.L. Folks and had a little chat with him.
We're in the middle of a recording of a podcast too. So
you fired it up.
Yeah, why not? You know, this is fired up. Yeah. I mean, because we got this guy here who has played with a lot of names, doing a lot of new stuff out there. We just spoke with Super Chicken a little while ago.
Yeah, Super Chicken. Man.
So you know who turns your crank? You know,
Stevie Ray Vaughan, man. My dad gave me Stevie Ray Vaughan record, and that was it, man.
Guitar slinger, right?
That's
man?
Right.
Did you catch Ronnie Earl in there just now?
Yeah, he was badass.
Holy crap, man.
Yeah. Tone and dynamics in the band.
Abel was like, everybody in this room is just enthralled with him. So, you know, there's very few guys that can play like that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Plays it right.
He's got that Stevie Ray thing. You know, just not even the stuff Stevie Ray was known for, but more the jazzy Riviera Paradise type.
Yeah, it's almost that Buddy Guy that pre-Hendrix stuff that he was doing. So, you know, when you play, when you write, are you trying to, forgive me for using the word, but emulate. But are you pulling a lot from that? But how much of that is you know, when you play?
Oh, 100%. You know, when you write a song, the music has to paint the picture of the lyrics, and it has to all come together as one piece. You know,
Santana used to say that the guitar was just an extension of yourself.
Absolutely.
You feel that way?
Absolutely.
You know, it's that natural for you?
Absolutely. It comes from the soul. You got to play from the soul. Yeah.
When did that happen for you?
When I started?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when did you? When was that godlike moment that, hey, this is my thing?
You know, I started when I was 13, and I formed this band probably like right after high school. And we won this big battle of the bands in Greenville, South Carolina, and it was in front of like 5,000 people, and that was the night that changed my life. I said, that's what I'm going to do for a living.
So you came off stage, you put the guitar back in the case, and went, you and I are going to have a thing, right?
That's right, yeah. I said, this is what I'm going to do, man. Yeah.
So when you sit down, now it's different, you know, it's different when you're on stage, but when you sit down in a studio, is it, you know, how different is that for you?
Studio is a whole different ball game, you know. It's, you can hear every little mistake that you do, so being in the studio kind of trains you for playing live, you know, and it's, you become a perfectionist.
Blues being a performed art, but in a studio you can still capture some of that because you're not feeding off the audience, but you still got that what's in your head and you know what the audience is wanting, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how far do you have to push yourself to make that happen?
Well, you know, it's kind of a natural thing, you know, like I always try to push myself to the limits every night, you know. I never try to half-ass anything, you know. I always go 100%.
the old adage is, you know, you don't live until you learn something new every day. And you strike me as the kind of cat that does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Constantly, you know, whenever you're off the road or got some free time, you know, that's what I do, you know.
So who do you listen to on your free times?
Oh, man, I don't even know where to begin. You know, just I got so many influences. I'm constantly on blues radio stations checking out new artists, local guys in Memphis.
Are there older guys? I mean, like pre-war guys? Do you like to get into the older open tuning stuff or what?
Yeah, you know, I get into some open tuning stuff. You know, it's kind of not my thing, but I like to get into that too, you know, sometimes.
Yeah. So, you know, what's next? I mean, you like sitting in the studio and doing the next thing, or are you ready to get on the road and do it?
Yeah, you know, right now I'm writing and I'm going to record another demo tape and get that out to some people. And I got another project called Folks of McGuire, which is more an R&B type thing. We've got 6 songs in the work right now. Just put out a single. And that's a totally different market, and I think it's going to apply more to the younger generation.
You're talking about kind of leaving this area and moving to Florida. What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, Florida's just a great place for music. They got a great blues society. They got one of the best blues society in the nation. They got tons of local work, lots of talent, and some really great clubs down there. And you know, deep down in Florida, where the sun shines nearly every day, you know.
Are the fans different down there than they are here?
You know, it's.
And you're not offending anybody by saying yes or no.
I would compare it to a lot like here. You know, a lot of the blues fans, they really come together like they do here. You know, so it's a good.
So when you get up on stage in Florida, you're feeding from that audience, you know, and that's the blues, you know, because you're really working that crowd. Are those crowds down there? Are they a little more into it than they are in Memphis or in the Mid-South?
You know, I would compare it to probably the same. You know, some. You know, they don't get as much blues and the talent that is here. So they dig it maybe a little bit more, you know. And you know, I don't know. A lot of the guys come here to Memphis, too, you know, from South Florida.
So let me ask you this. How much has jazz influenced you?
Oh, I love jazz. Jazz is a big thing for me.
Are you a guy with, like, 3,000 chords in your wallet and ready to go?
Yeah, you know, I got a lot of voicings and stuff, you know. I'm still learning a lot of voices. There's so many out there, you know. And I try to put as many as I can, you know, different colors to the blues, especially. You know.
Yeah, you don't want to fuck up the bass player too much, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, you don't want to be jumping all around, you know, screwing them up. And, you know.
Yeah, because the bass player's watching the drummer, the drummer's watching the front guy, and then you're over there just doing your thing.
That's right, filling in all the space.
That's awesome. Man, listen, I appreciate it. Best of luck to you.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And lo and behold, we run into the Ghost Town Blues Band, Preston McEwen and Matt Isbell from the band, and had a chat with these guys, and they had a lot going on, too.
Hey, you're listening to RadioMemphis.com.
Close. Radio-Memphis.
Oh, right, whatever.
Matt Isbell, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, we're podcasting.
Yeah, this will be up in a week or so.
All I got to do is put my zoom, zoom, zoom in your boom, boom. That's what we're recording on, folks.
Hey, you got it right. Didn't even have to look at the fucking label on the thing. You know?
Yeah.
You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm good. You got something hanging from your mustache.
Well, then pick it out of there for me, will you? Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, you're
what
great
was man. That?
I don't know.
Is that my firstborn?
Your firstborn is on the way.
Right. She's on her way right now, actually. Nobody
there
can see
it. Oh, is that Mama?
Mamacita is waddling along.
Is she coming out to have a smoke with you?
Yeah, she smokes like a pack a day. Hey, Lisa, come here. We're podcasting.
Come here, Lisa.
Yeah, talk to Radio Memphis.
Hello, Radio Memphis.
We were telling them how you smoke while you're waddling out.
Oh, God.
You smoke like a pack a day.
You know, and that's, what is it? You got a glass of rosé over here, you know, some tequila in there, you know.
Some very fancy cranberry juice right there.
Fancy cranberry, yeah.
Rick, you know, Lisa's in Good Luck Dark Star, too.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Yeah.
We are no longer family. Good Luck Dark Star, but, you know, still working on maybe some recording projects soon. So.
Well, and you're kind of, you know, busy.
These days. Yeah. A little busy these days.
So when do you do?
July
12th.
Our baby drops on July 12th.
The CD drops on the 4th.
You can check it out at Spin Street Music.
It'll be a live birth, you know.
Come over to Radio Memphis.
Yeah, Radio Memphis will come out, and we'll bring the cameras. It'll be big.
We're going to live tweet the delivery. We're going to, you know, it'll be
at
big.
At the baby release show.
Yeah, the baby release show, yes. I was telling Matt a little while ago that I think he's got some more songs coming when the baby arrives, because he's going to be up all fucking night.
Yes, he'll have plenty of time to record, you know, really think about those songs. So.
In the midst of taking care of, yes. You know, this lovely child that you're bringing into the world.
What I've always heard is that heightened senses with, like, the smell, the sense of smell,
that'll
heighten your writing ability as well.
It's like, oh my God, they crapped the diaper. I've got to.
Actually, that's the name of our new record. It's called Hard Road to Ho.
Hard Road to Ho, or Crap the Diaper might work.
Diaper,
you know?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, how many diapers do I have to change? Might be the new working title.
But that's awesome. I'm glad. I'm so glad that you're. You know, you look beautiful. You're absolutely looking wonderful.
Turn around the other way. Look, you would never even know she's pregnant. Until she knocks over, you know, everything in her way.
Seriously, a pregnant woman has a nice glow about her. She looks wonderful, and you should be quite proud, Matt.
I am.
You really should.
That is my sperm.
Nice shot, buddy.
I repeat, my sperm.
You are the father.
We'll see. I hope. I've seen my postman lurking around a little too much lately. I'm kidding.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
You know, Lisa plays drums. So we've been joking to everybody, but I'm not even joking. We're having a bass player.
Yeah, and you should. Keep it in the family. Keep it rolling. A bass player will never be starved for work.
We're going to grow our own band. You know?
Yeah, keep it in the family. Why not?
DW Boss.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, get happy down. Yeah.
We'll get those synchronized dance moves. Right. Oh, yeah.
We'll get you some psychedelic colored bus, and then away you go.
It's not sounding bad.
Yeah, I like this. I like this whole plan. Oh, my God. You look great. And so many congratulations from
thank
us.
You.
Yes.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I'm sorry that he's the father.
I'm not.
Well, anyway, hey, ghosttownbluesband.com, Ghost Town Blues Band on the Facebook machine, and Ghost Town Blues Band, when are we airing this?
I don't know, a week from now.
All right, well, we'll see you sometime down the road.
Yes, and how are the Cigar Box guitars going?
I've made 100 or 201 of them. JL Folks is with us right now. He's actually got one of my Cigar Box guitars. He paid full price for it too.
Wow.
JL, tell him about your stuff.
We spoke to him earlier, so.
But tell him about how you do. You love my guitars or what?
I love them, man. I can tell you, man. I've heard a lot of Cigar Box guitars. And this one's got the tone, man.
Are you bullshitting me?
No, I'm not bullshitting.
All right, good, because I know where you live, too.
I know you do. But here's the thing, man. That, you know, put a little overdrive on that thing, man. It screams. I love it. It's single coil.
Hey, dude, cheers.
Yeah, man. I love it. Yeah, I love that.
I make slides, too, if you're cheap.
Yeah, I use one of the slides, too. Bottle.
Hell, yeah. And you're going to be, you know, making some more of them because you got a kid on the way. You know, diapers ain't free.
Right, exactly. Diaperfund.com. It's actually MemphisCigarBox.com/diaperfund.com.
Oh, we can make that work for you.
Right.
You
know.
Diaper box guitar. You can try that.
So yeah, the diaper box. You know, the company, you know.
How about, oh, shit, what have I got myself into.com?
It's the shitguitar.com for that matter, you know. Yeah,
I actually saw a bedpan guitar recently, and it's called a shitar.
Well, hell yeah. And it makes sense because of the
Shatacaster.
Yeah. The Shatacaster, yeah. Right? Yeah.
I heard it sounds like shit.
Yeah. It's you know, it's the porcelain. It works. You know, come on. Yeah. Strap a pickup in it, run a bridge through it, and you're good to go. You know.
Right. Sounds like my last dental visit.
So Matt, when are you gonna make me a shotgun guitar?
Right, as soon as you get a license. Right. Oh shit, I'm getting excited.
Oh yeah, you are. Yeah, and you're not even on stage.
Yeah. Wow.
Thank you, fellas.
Here's what's coming up on the next edition from Radioland. Mornings on Radio Memphis, starting at 9 o'clock Central, is our old friend Doc Studdard. So I finally got the chance to sit down with him and, as promised, heard his story.
No, I didn't even get to go up in the arch, you know, and I'm sure that put me on a federal watch list, among many other things. You know?
Sort of like when when John Wayne's The Alamo was being made, they didn't hire Mexicans to play the Mexicans. You know?
No, I wouldn't think so. No. That would be funny. It's like, hey, we kind of want you guys to come in. Remember what your ancestors did? Just do that shit. Run with it.
And if you watch movies as much as I do, man allowing technology to do more for them never ends well.
Well, that's why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is not here.
Fuck Cleveland. Sorry. If you're from Cleveland.
You know, that's the second time that's been uttered on this podcast.
Radio Memphis is an internet broadcasting service provided by PirateRadioStudios.com, Memphis, Tennessee, USA.
And that was that. A great time had by all. There were some 2,000 people, I think, in that room in there. And it was such a really unique and groovy experience to have been a part of. I've never been to the Blues Music Awards and saw some great people. James Cotton was there. Buddy Guy was supposed to be there, but apparently he didn't really show up. So he was probably kind of tired. Well, after all, the man's like 300 years old. He played at Lincoln's inauguration, from my understanding. There was a lot of good folks out there. Good time, great music, and some really big people too. So it was a lot of fun, and I'd look forward to doing it again. So there you have it. There's this edition of the podcast. Sort of weird, live-ish, out in the road, away from the studio. And we thank you for tuning in and being a part of it. Don't forget to tell a friend about it and subscribe. You could add us to your playlist of podcasts that you like to listen to, and we'd greatly appreciate it. We're at iTunes. We're at Stitcher. We're at TuneIn. Also, player.fm. We're also now on Blueberry. And you can find us at my blog at rickcheddar.blogspot.com. Podcast notes are usually found there on that spot. And our thanks to Podbean for making it all happen. So there you have it. Thanks again. And we hope you enjoyed it. I'm Rick Cheddar. And this has been From Radioland.